I'm your host, Chip Flory. We had some good news on E15, and the ethanol industry has been pushing for E15 availability, year-round availability, for quite some time. Let's bring in Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, to talk about it. Jeff, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Chip. How are you?
Good, good, good. You settling into the new role there at RFA?
Yeah, I think you could say that I hit the ground running, and
yeah.
within my first week, we got the announcement from President Trump, so I guess I'm off to a good start, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, when the starting pistol fires, Jeff, you better get running.
You got it.
Exactly. Okay, it is good news, no question about it. But go to the bottom line on this, Jeff. What does it mean? How much more demand does this create, do you think?
Sure. Well, it is a longer-term play, Chip, and,
yep.
and I think there's pretty broad recognition of that across the industry. But it's one of those things that had to happen. It's one of those barriers that had to be knocked down before we can really jumpstart the marketplace for higher-level blends and E15 specifically. So this has been one of our top regulatory priorities for a number of years. We're not out of the woods yet. This announcement really just starts the process to get
right.
the rulemaking done, and EPA has committed to having it done in time for next summer. So hopefully we can put all of this behind us by June 1 next year, and you know, hopefully we'll see the marketplace making E15 available all year round next year.
Yeah, and I like the way that you said it, Jeff. This is an issue that had to be knocked down because it brought up a memory of the blend wall and
mm-hmm.
and how we faced that blend wall to get to 15 billion gallons blended into the fuel supply out there. But this helps us get to that level, doesn't it?
It does. And again, it's one of those constraints or barriers that's been put on ethanol. And it's really a remnant of a 30-year-old regulation. And so, you know, this fits the mold very well of the types of burdensome and unnecessary regulations that really offer no environmental or economic benefit that President Trump has committed to repealing. So we knew it was ripe for the picking. And we've been working with the administration really for really since President Trump won the election to get this done. And again, it's a very positive signal to the marketplace, and I think it will shake loose some investment that's been sitting on the sidelines, and it will pique some more interest in the retail sector. It's not going to bring another billion or 2 billion gallons of demand online overnight, and it's not going to help us grind another 300 or 400 or 500 million bushels of corn overnight, but it does help pave the path forward to getting to those types of demand numbers.
Right. And, you know, Jeff, I think it's important for everybody that's listening to understand that all this does is create more choice, another choice for consumers. It's not like E10 is going to disappear. It's not like regular unleaded gasoline is going to disappear. E10 will be another choice year-round now.
Absolutely. This is not and has never been about mandating E15.
Right.
This has been about allowing consumers and allowing retailers the choice to offer that fuel. And you know, in a we always hear about, oh, you know, if we only had a free market and yeah. why do you guys need the RFS? And if your product is so great, it would compete in the free market. This move by President Trump helps move us more toward
yeah.
a free market. I mean, we have a product in ethanol that is 80 cents cheaper than gasoline today.
Right.
It's cleaner. It's made in America. It's supporting jobs in rural parts of the country. In a truly free market, our product would get chosen every time. So
yeah.
this move just allows more flexibility for the retail sector, allows more choice for consumers. And, you know, if they don't want to purchase E15, they don't have to. There will certainly be E10 available, and in many cases, there will be E0 will remain
yeah.
available.
Yeah.
If you want to pay an extra 60 cents a gallon for
yep.
for gasoline without ethanol, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, and that price at the pump is one of the most important things, in, at least in my judgment of E15, because it is a – it it's a premium product, but it comes at a lower cost. Jeff, like you said, if it wasn't for all the the anti-ethanol group messaging that's going on out there, it would be the choice for most consumers out there, don't you? I believe that, without question.
I mean, it's E15 has been 5 to 10 cents cheaper than regular gasoline E10, where it's being offered, and again, with a little bit of education, consumers who try E15 immediately become repeat customers, and they, they come back and buy more and make that switch. So I do think we will continue to see that, and now that we can, you know, hopefully alleviate this burden of, you know, putting the brakes on every June 1st and you know, relabeling or taking that product out of the pump. Now that we're, you know, hopefully getting past that, I think E15 will really take off in the years ahead.
Okay, yeah, I think it will too. But what's next? What do we do to get it in front of more consumers?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things that have to happen, and certainly, as I mentioned, this announcement on Tuesday was just the beginning of the rulemaking process. So first and foremost, we've got to get that done, and that means EPA needs to immediately get a proposed rule out to the public and allow the public to comment on that proposal and weigh in with the agency. And then the EPA is required to take all those comments into consideration. There will probably be a hearing or two, and then they've got to get a final rule done. And so none of this matters really until that final rule is complete. And again, we've had commitments that will be done in time, you know, before next June. During that process, we, of course, are going to be continuing to work with retailers, with gasoline marketers to make them aware of this change, make them aware of the value proposition. And then we'll continue our consumer education campaigns as well. But that works, you know, those campaigns really work hand in hand with the retailers, because that's where, you know, that's the point of sale. That's where consumers are interfacing with our product. So that's what we have in store over the next 6 to 12 months.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, let's set the record straight on some of this messaging out there, because one of the messages that just drives me crazy, Jeff, is, and it's from the American Petroleum Institute, it's from the petrochemical manufacturers, talking about that we're going to have dirtier air burning higher ethanol blends during the summer. Set the record straight.
Well, that drives me nuts as well, and a lot of the news coverage around this announcement has said, well, the reason we haven't been able to sell E15 in the summer is because it contributes to smog. Yeah. That's ridiculous, and it's untrue. And E15 is less volatile than E10. It contributes fewer evaporative emissions. Yeah. It reduces carbon monoxide. It reduces carbon dioxide emissions. And so, you know, E15 is absolutely a cleaner fuel than E10 even, and it's certainly cleaner than E0. So that is not the reason that E15 has been held out of the marketplace. The reason is, you know, we've had this 30-year-old antiquated, outdated regulation that was designed at a time when higher level blends were not even really, you know, being contemplated.
Exactly. It's just false.
Driving me crazy too.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I got a lot that I want to cover here, Jeff.
Sure.
The other thing, I'm thinking of opening up a shop because 3/4 of the cars are about to break down, you know, according to the API. Well, you know, why don't consumers take a look at what's going on down in Brazil? I mean, their average blend rate is north of E20, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, they're about 27-28% in Brazil. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's another myth, Chip, that's been around since EPA approved E15 in 2011. And it's just nonsense. We have driven more than 5 billion miles on E15. We haven't heard a single reported case of engine damage or engine failure or inferior performance or any, you know, breakdowns on the side of the road, any of that nonsense. If it had happened, we certainly would have heard about it. Yeah. 5 billion miles is a lot of miles. This is the most tested fuel in the history of the U.S.
Yep.
So they're just, you know, it's just more nonsense. The other thing I would point out is, nearly every automaker today explicitly approves the use of E15 in their automobiles. You go to any car lot and look at the owner's manual, whether it's a Honda, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, whatever it is, they're all going to list E15 as approved fuel.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, we got to go. But now that we've got E15, well, don't take your eye off that ball until we get the final rule. But let's move on to the hardship waivers and get that dealt with too, okay? Let's get you back on real soon and talk about that.
That sounds great, Chip. Would love to.
All right, that is Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. We've got Larry Wooten from the North Carolina Farm Bureau up next.